Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
So, just introduce the show.
Hey, gotta come down from that.
He peaked. It's over.
the thought of my mom getting railed just gets me so excited. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. I'm the recently scarred, but very excited about my mother's pregnancy, Matthew Olenchek. She doesn't listen. She's downloaded. She doesn't listen to this. Joined by always by my beautiful work husband wearing his thematic shirt for this week. How are you doing, lovely?
I'm doing all right, hon. How are you?
I'm surviving after this movie. And we have a special guest today. It's your dom.
Do not say it.
I'm dom.
Do not say it.
It's your dom.
No.
Yeah. I was thinking about this episode. I'm like, Harrison's going to get so upset in this episode.
So,
because it's just going to be me trying to make Geneva laugh, and you're not going to like anything that happens.
So, do you want to introduce the movie since you technically picked it?
Oh, yeah, we're watching Tusk. Oh my gosh.
Fuck yeah.
It's the best movie ever made.
I'm not going to go that far, but it's pretty fucking good. I love this movie.
Unfortunately, Matthew's a coward.
So. I'm gonna be up front here. I stopped watching it at a certain point and read thought pieces about Kevin Smith.
Did you at least read the Wikipedia for the plot
Wikipedia
synopsis?
I read the Wikipedia
plot. Okay.
I do it for every movie I watch because I watch them at double speed. So you need that backbone to help support you.
Yeah, it is how... I don't understand how you can watch movies at double speed and follow what's going on. That's not human pacing. How do you not get uncanny valley?
I have unmedicated ADHD.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I can totally track watching it in double speed. That's how I did all my lectures.
Sure. No, I can follow what's going on, but how are you not freaked the fuck out the entire time?
I don't know. Do better.
Whose side are you on, darling?
I don't know. It doesn't really do an uncanny valley in me because at a certain point, I just forget it's at double speed. It's like watching with like subs in a movie where eventually you're not really consciously doing it. So it just kind of, I'm in the space and that's just how fast people move. I also got a bunch of nicotine in me, so it. I'm really focused.
It's like you're watching it in normal speed.
I'm watching at normal speed. All right. This whole world moves too slow except for my movies. I wish I could speed life up.
So Tusk is a 2014 A24 picture directed by Kevin Smith. Is this the second or third A24 picture we've done? Third. We did Swiss Army Man, The Lighthouse, and now this.
Yeah. I almost said Asteroid City was A24.
Swiss Army Man
was good.
I love Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, Swiss Army Man
was great. Rules.
I too would build effigies of her in the woods.
Yeah.
So Tusk.
I'm really sad sometimes that this is purely an audio. Like, I wish we could have captured that
no,
look I just got.
No, it gets captured pretty well in audio. Believe me, when I'm editing,
I don't really
good.
Listen to the. I kind
you
of skip.
Don't listen to your
No,
podcast?
He doesn't. I submit episodes for his approval, and then he doesn't listen. He just puts them up. I'm genuinely tempted to just re-record, like, just a solo cast and see if he ever notices.
Well, I do skip around to listen to my own jokes, so I would.
You're listening for, like, punchlines. Like, you're like, I was really funny at that one second.
Yeah, literally, I'll, like, turn it on, and I'll laugh at my own jokes hysterically.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't surprise me. It
scans.
So Tusk is a 2014 Kevin Smith movie. Do you want me to go a little bit into the history of the movie, or do you want to just jump into
Let's
the movie?
Let's go into the history of the movie, because I have more information on that.
Okay, so This movie came from a podcast episode of, I want to say it's 257, 259 of Smodcast with Scott Mosier.
I love that you were not like, oh, what's the name of this podcast? You were worried about getting the exact number right.
Because
you're a Tusk super fan.
Oh my God. I can't remember. Oh my. I'm going to get real annoyed.
It was an hour and 32 minutes long.
So Kevin Smith at this point in his life had retired from filmmaking. His previous film, Red State, also on the list for a future viewing, also starring Michael Parks in a killer role. He made Red State in 2011. He did this whole hullabaloo at Sundance where he like was auctioning off the rights, but then he bought the rights himself for $20 as a fuck you to like critics in a way, because critics were like, we made you. And Smith was like, fuck you, I made me. And he went on the Red State road show. And Red State was like his masterpiece. It was designed to be like his final film, where like he had made, and Red State was nothing like anything he'd done before, like cinematography wise, plot wise. Like it was a completely different film than what he'd normally made. And then it still wasn't super well received. But at this point, he'd been so burned out from critics and like from everything that he decided to retire. So he didn't make a movie for 3 years. And then the Smodcast episode, he discovers an online story about a man who is offering free room and board, but his roommate has to dress up as a walrus.
Like once a day, right?
Yes, like once a day in this like weird like subreddity like Craigslist ad thing. And he found it so funny, and he and Scott Mosier, his producing partner, for every film up until, I don't think he did Red State, I think he did every film pre-Red State, so for like 15 years at this point. And so they're talking about the story, like going bit like back and forth, and you can listen to the episode and you actually hear Smith writing the movie in real time as they're bouncing ideas off of each other. And you can hear the moment where he wants to make this movie because he wants to see this movie. And so he says at the end of the episode, I'm going to put up a Twitter poll to see if I make this movie. Hashtag walrus yes if you want this movie made. Hashtag walrus no if you don't. And it was unanimously walrus yes on Twitter, except there was one walrus no that said, I'm only voting this way because I support the democratic process, but I'm actually walrus yes.
So, I think it was a sexual thing, the Craigslist ad.
Probably.
It was like insane. I could see going either way. Either like it's just like a really weird person who's like, I just love walruses a bunch and want a walrus friend once a day. Or someone who's like, yeah.
So
for me.
For better or worse, this was the movie that brought Kevin Smith out of retirement and brought him back into filmmaking.
Good.
I agree.
I wouldn't have had it any other way.
I agree. Listen, I don't love Yoga Hosers. I'm so happy that he and his daughter and Johnny Depp and his daughter got to make their home movies for like $2 million. Like, I'm so happy that movie got made.
It was $5 million.
Okay. I'm so happy that they got to make their $5 million home movie. But like, I don't love that movie, but I am so... Everything he's done after that, Jay and Silent Bob reboot, Clerks 3, I'm so pumped for the 4:30 movie. Like, I'm just happy he's making shit again, and it's super cool. And this is the start of it. This was the precipice of Kevin Smith as we know him today.
I was, like, vaguely aware of Yoga Hosers. I'd, like, look it up to be like, what's this movie?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it. That being said, I feel like after witnessing the masterpiece that is Tusk, I would not be able to see this.
Yoga Hosers.
Assuming movie tickets are $10, only 3,800 people saw it. Because it's box.
Movie tickets are not $10.
No. Those box office, all of Kevin Smith's box office numbers post Red State are a little wonky. Because they only had every film only had a 2 or 3 week long mini theatrical limited run. And then he toured them on a road show.
Okay, that makes a lot. I'm looking at a $5 million movie that apparently got 38,000 at the off box office.
Oh no, it was, yeah.
Oh God.
But it also, it was only open for like a week. like, in which still is not great, but it was limited. It was very limited, small release on a Fandango event for like a week or a weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. But then he toured it on a road show, and I have not gotten to see any of his road shows. I have seen Kevin Smith live record Hollywood Babylon at the House of Blues right after his heart attack.
Like right after?
Like
minutes?
Like a couple months.
Okay. That is exciting.
No.
I thought he came out like in a hospital gown.
No.
He's like, I'm here.
He came out of the hospital and met Harrison.
Hey, Harrison.
So
little Ted Tussle.
So that's a little bit of the background. That's a little bit of the background of the creation of this movie. I don't super know how he raised the funding, other than he has a killer producer, and A24 was in its infancy, so they were experimenting.
An A24,
and the idea that they could get a Kevin Smith movie when he had like that cult level status.
A24 will also attempt any movie if there's a chance it might go viral.
Fair.
A24, like, it's incredible how many of their movies do hit, because they take wild, every movie they take pretty much is like an insane risk.
I don't love every A24 movie I've seen, but I do enjoy like the wild swings they're willing to take.
It's nuts, dude. And they hit out of the park so often where they make these huge, hugely successful movies. And then there's like occasional movie that like, it still does well in the box office. Just like no one's heard of it.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow, can you imagine being Mr. 24 and having that kind of success to your name?
But yeah, this is an early, I want to say they were officially releasing in 2012, so this is like a year and a half into the distribution company.
Yeah, it's one of the very, because I was a while ago looking up like the history of A24, like movies they've released, and this was like really early on.
Yes, this was the first A24 movie I noticed. Swiss Army Man, or I saw, but Swiss Army Man was the first one that I noticed, like, oh, this is the company to watch. Honestly, it's because I knew, oh, this was the company that released Tusk. Like... Anyway, so that was a little A24.
Some nerd shit.
Sorry. So Tusk is about podcasters.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's about the... Okay, I'm trying to fucking...
Bro, that's crazy, though.
No, that's crazy.
Bro, we're podcasters, bro. What?
No, you know what? Your movie, you guide.
Oh,
what?
My gosh. So, Tusk is about this pair of friends who are podcasters, who are not unlike to weirdos and sitting next to you right now. Basically, they have this wonderful podcast called the Notse Party. NOTSEE, by the way, before anything happens with that.
God, they're on Reddit and 4chan.
The ideal is that 1000%. In the beginning of the movie, they're supposed to go interview like this kid who became like this viral like YouTube video where he like cuts his own leg off doing like katana stunts and shit, right?
So like really quick, is it like Tosh.0 but a podcast?
Not
or do they interview other people too?
They have interviewed other people, but it's mostly like they just chase after whatever's viral at the time.
So it's like a Tosh.0 if he's more willing to get off the internet sometimes.
Yeah, Tosh.0 if Brickleberry never happened.
Mm.
But and so like he goes up to Canada to try and like interview this kid. When he gets here, the kid like killed himself. And so he's like, oh my god. My podcast.
This one does. My podcast. How the fans of the Notse Party survive without an episode. Such a clever name. I was doing the fedora tip there. It's an audio medium.
So. We could hear the fedora tip. We heard it.
It's awesome. I think this was like, I like the conceit of it. It was wild to me that like this is the big viral video, because there's so many videos like this on the internet. Like there's a video going around of a guy just walking around with a hole in his head, and you could see his brain.
Yeah.
And like it got kind of viral, but the idea that someone's like realistically, what does that episode, what does that interview look like?
Hopefully.
Like what
the hole in his head?
Or I mean, with the katana kid.
We don't know. He killed himself.
So you chop your leg off, huh?
I think
in the movie he's like quoted where he's like, I need to get into like the real nitty gritty of like this interview, but like, what are you gonna ask him?
Yeah, like I was
why
just,
did you cut your leg off? It's like, you're like, didn't it on purpose.
It's gonna be like a half an hour episode, right? Like,
dude, I don't know, he went all the way to Canada. Maybe he had like 3 hours planned. They're gonna do like,
it just doesn't seem like, because like when he goes to meet the guy, that makes more sense. That's like, okay, he's gonna tell stories, that you can make an interview out of that, versus the thing where it's like, I fucked up and cut off my leg, here's my 3 hour story.
Like, yeah, he was getting like, well,
how did you get into katanas?
I think it was supposed to be a segment of a larger, because he travels and then Haley Joel Osment, by the way, is this our second Haley Joel
this
Osment
is our movie? Second
hell yeah. Haley Joel Osment doesn't fly, or he doesn't fly anymore. So he travels and then
so
he brings them back.
It's like a news segment, kind of like a cutaway thing.
Yeah. So my guess is that he'll record like an hour and a half interview and then bring it in, and they'll edit it down. Like, they'll edit the podcast down to the best parts as they're like reacting to the interview going on.
So we got it down to a minute. We got all the good content here where he says, yes, I did cut off my leg.
Yeah, I should cut my leg off. It's in a bag in the freezer.
We're saving that for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That's what you're going to say something like that and you couldn't even finish the movie.
I'm just respecting Canadian cultural heritage.
I don't think that's Canadian cultural heritage.
I'm friends with a Canadian.
But like, yeah, no. So like, he goes up there and like, the kid killed himself. He's like, my podcast. Because obviously that's what he needs to be concerned about. So he like goes to a bar. He's like talking to his friend on the phone. He's like, dude, the podcast is fucked. Like, the kid killed himself. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, you couldn't wait till after the recording? That's crazy.
How are we going to recover 5 minutes of time?
And so like, he sees like this like poster on like one of those like pin boards in like small towns that is like looking to give room and board, just looking for company, like lots of historical stories, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, all right, let's do it. So he like goes out to this big ass house in the middle of the woods. He says it's like north of Manitoba. It changes like 4 or 5 times in the movie. It's like north of Manitoba, but like not. It's, you never know.
Manitoba ain't even real. I looked
it
up.
Manitoba's not real.
I Googled it and said, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
So.
Really? Weirdly personal.
He goes to this house and there's just this old guy in a little wheelchair. And he's like, this is just an old man. I've been bamboozled.
So I thought this was Bryan Cranston. Until I saw this part of the movie. Every time I've seen pictures of him online from like Tusk, you know, like some Tusk related, I thought it was Bryan Cranston.
It's Michael Parks.
I discovered that.
Yeah.
But I was like, huh.
Also, the TSA agent, their Canadian TSA, Border Patrol, but not Border Patrol. Anyway, where you have to enter Canada, Harley Morenstein.
Yeah,
epic mealtime.
It is like not Border Patrol if you're an American. It really is. You just go American.
Yeah.
Which is also how it is in, I want to say, Saudi Arabia or one of our allies out there. One of our allies in that region. I was reading somewhere where someone's like, they were nervous about getting in because they were like checking every car with really strict security.
Yeah.
But his girlfriend's from there. She's like, just flash your passport. And so when he got up there, he just flashed his American passport and they let him right through.
That's how it is in Australia. If you stay for less than a week and you're American, you don't need a visa or anything. You just show them your passport and you're okay.
Yeah.
But you stay over that week, they're going to hunt you down.
We call that American prestige.
Back-to-back World War champs, baby.
Back-to-back. No! We've committed no crimes.
I thought there was gonna be more.
I'm just staying the truth. What more is there to say?
So
they're only war crimes if they can tell on us.
Yeah. We've never been charged with a war crime.
Who are they gonna complain to? Us? Like, so, be so real.
So the airport security scene
can't arrest the police.
Has some really funny moments. Like I love, I am sure that Justin Long has had to, like, Wallace Brighton, the character, has to do that all the time, where he has to explain what a podcaster is, especially in 2014 when like they were existent. Like, we vaguely knew what a podcast
even
was.
I've heard podcasters complain about, like, still to this day, airport security and their equipment. And they're like, why do you have all these cords and shit? And like, it's still, it's amazing. Like, even now, people still don't know what a podcaster
is. That's like the perfect opportunity to get more views. So what you do is you tell them you have a bomb, right?
Yeah.
And so then when you like track back on your story, you're like, no, look it up. And then you like execute the
people. See, I've been trying to do that. I've been going to airports saying I have a bomb to try to get viewers for this podcast. But unfortunately, I'm a straight white male. So they just let me walk through with it.
So,
I think it's probably for a good purpose, hunting.
Honestly, we don't know this guy. We can't assume anything.
He's not Taliban.
But I do love where he's like, so our podcast is called The Nazi Party. And immediately he's like, don't fucking mention The Nazi Party. Like, what?
It really is a 4chan podcast name.
It yeah. is.
He even says it with, like, the accent, like, multiple times.
He does the fucking Hitler stash. Yeah. Like,
their tagline is "All hail the Nazi Party."
Wonder how successful that would actually be.
That's definitely ending up on a list somewhere. See, but like,
is it? Are they 4chan bros, or is it like Cumtown where they're just edgy?
I was just gonna say, like, I was like thinking, like, how popular would it be? But then I remembered Cumtown.
Yeah, Cumtown exists.
Might be the biggest brain of this operation, is because like. Obviously, people, that's like rage bait. That's like early rage bait right there.
Yeah, but they spell it differently. So.
Yeah, but like, just like off of word of mouth. Like, if you tell somebody, like, yeah, I listen to the Nazi podcast. Like, dude, like, that's rage bait. Right, like, they just got like secured.
Thank you for celebrating my heritage.
Shut up.
So.
That's great. The TSA scene was great, honestly.
A man torn betwixt devils and kings.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, that's where he's like, never tell a Canadian you don't watch hockey.
Yeah, never tell a Canadian you don't watch hockey.
It's illegal to be sad in Canada because in America, you look at their flag and it's red, white, and blue. But you look at a Canadian flag and it's red and white, but never blue, eh?
So he goes to this old guy's house, right?
Thank you.
And while he's in there, this guy, very clear, this old guy is like talking out of his ass. He's talking about like insane stories where he's like, I wasn't on the beach of Normandy. I was there before Normandy when it was Operation Neptune. Whoa! Right? And so like he's talking about like Ernest Hemingway and like how he supposedly met him in person and like gave him a drink. And he said like some famous line to him that I can't think of right now. I'm sure you probably know it.
Yeah, we're straight white men. We've read every Ernest Hemingway book that exists.
But like, according to him,
it's our Bible.
Yeah, according to him, Ernest Hemingway said it to him. He like he is the guy, right? He's just the coolest person who's ever born, ever, always. And this whole time, like Wallace just like sitting there, he's like sipping on his little tea, right? And he's like, I don't even like tea, but this tea's so good. He's like sipping on his little tea, right? And so eventually, in the like point of the conversation, Wallace like gets up and he starts like looking around. And there's a bunch of different, like, things on the walls and, like, decorations and stuff. And so Howard like Howe is Fridays. What the guy's name is. He's like, yeah, this is, like, my life on the walls. Like, I've done all this stuff, right? And so Wallace is like, what's this? And he, like, picks up, like, this thing off of the, like, the mantle. And it's, like, all up there. And it's just, you know, it's a walrus cock, right? So it's just up there. Sorry, it's the Bacchus phallus. It's, like, the bone inside of the walrus cock. My bad. But like,
that's important. That's important. We humans don't have those, you know.
I love that I didn't have to say anything. I just slightly lifted the microphone and opened my mouth. Did not make a sound.
No, this is a safe space for discussing like various penis bones.
And so, like,
I mentioned cow cocks several times and how they're always erect. They're always erect and then they slide into the body. I worked with a guy who raised cows once.
Raised cows.
He told me that over lunch.
And well, yeah, they have like a bone in there. Like it doesn't like go down.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's like a retractable. Like,
do you know duck penises are spiraled?
Yeah. It's because duck
vaginas try to out evolutionary rape.
Getting gatted, but like you know, like the men mentality, unfortunately, you can't escape it in any species. They were like, no, I'm just going to be better.
I love that it's evolutionary. that the male attitude was like, I'm taking charge of evolution.
So he's holding this walrus dick, right? And he's like, what is this from? He's like, oh, you know, he tells him it's like the bone, like inside of the wall, which is preparation, blah, 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 all that fun stuff, right? And he's like, whoa, you must be a trophy hunter. And he's like, no, that's from when I was lost at sea. He's like, you were lost at sea? Oh my God. So he says like this crazy tale about how like he was on the Anastasia and it like gets sank. He swims to shore or like floats to shore or whatever. And like while he's there, he like meets this walrus and he names him Mr. Tuskegee, right? And he calls him Mr. Tusk.
Lazy
and
name.
And they're like best friends. Like, they
lazy them. Fucking name. You could have done better.
A great
better.
Name. What do you mean?
Oh, you should. First off, you should have asked him his name. I don't think he appreciates.
So you're going to ask a walrus his name.
Yeah. Look, that's kind of fucking prejudice, calling him Mr. Tusk.
And when the walrus responds, it's like, ugh! Like, what do you say?
They say, hey, ugh! Also, he probably whistles because walruses whistle.
I did not know walruses whistle.
Yeah, yeah. I watch a lot of Instagram videos because they go,
why?
They go.
So you did more research on walruses themselves than to watch the actual.
Oh, movie. I'm a great lover of all sea mammals. Also, Harrison kind of reminds me of a walrus. So every time I see a picture, I go, my buddy. He should have been the drunk walrus is all I'm saying.
Yes, he's committed that drunk hippo was.
Hippos are killers. Walruses are friends.
I'm pretty sure a walrus will actually murder you.
Nah, dude. I'm Polish.
You know, sometimes.
What does that mean?
Darling, sometimes he says something and you don't have to. You're never going to understand.
I would argue that's more of a reason for a walrus to kill
you. Now, do we tight?
You just dap the walrus up.
And then we whistle. We go, woo!
When you go to the zoo, they're like, yo, that's my guy.
That's my guy! That's why I like when there's like the. Big groups of Polish people. So I don't sell pierogies at zoos because all the Polish people would come. Walruses would never stop whistling. Mouse would get dry.
You know, they sell pierogies at the baseball field?
Yeah. If I close my eyes and think really hard, I know where every pierogie is sold in this state.
Only in Ohio, though.
Only in Ohio.
If you're over the board, you don't know.
Yeah. They got pierogi sense. I'm just kind of always generally walking towards the nearest pierogi. It's why I have pierogies in my freezer, just so I don't like wander away from home.
It's like a gaydar, but like for pierogies.
Yeah. Okay. I have a pierogi dar, so, a lesbian dar, and those are my only senses.
A pierogi dar.
I love the gaydar has just replaced radar. Like, it just is.
Because radars don't detect one thing.
Yeah, gaydars is to detect gay specifically. Oh, you can locate any gay in like a certain area. Like, I don't know how good a math you is.
There's exactly three lesbians eating pierogies in the state of Ohio right at this moment.
See?
Okay. I'm so sorry.
This is my skill. This is my power.
So it's talking about Mr. Tuskegee, right?
So.
Oh. Yeah, what's up, buddy?
You okay?
Hi.
I think we broke Harrison.
Yeah, it's normal.
I warned you, this is a terrible idea.
So,
yeah, what's up?
So, Mr. Tuskegee, right? Walrus that he's like bonding with while he's on like the shores of some peninsula south of Siberia. And so like supposedly this is like the walrus's dick. And like around then, like the like tea that he's been sipping on, he's been like, you know, the whole time.
Yeah. I drink a lot of tea, that's exactly how you do it.
Yeah, see, I'm glad somebody agrees with me. He realizes that like his vision's getting blurry and he's like, what? And he's just like face plants on the floor. The face plant on the floor is the funniest moment in the entire movie. I'm sorry. Like, he like ragdolls, like, and it's so he bounces. Dude, you have to commit to bouncing on landing in order to get it to go well. Like, it's so good.
You can do that pretty easily by not stage falling.
Yeah. He did not. Like, he ate shit.
Yeah, because, like, I had to do, like, a bunch of... I had a thing where I had to, like, ragdoll and hit the ground. And I bounced very well. So much so that I had permanent damage to this day in my body because I would not stage fall. So, like, I'd hit the stage and I'd go... Broom, 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 and, like, roll across.
That's what he does. Yeah, he bounces.
I'm going to pin this, but I will pull it out at a later time when we get to the correct point in the movie. This is a movie that everyone is not 100% committed everything about this movie falls apart. This movie is on a razor wire of technical, how does this work? This should not work in any way. And if anyone gives less than 100% in any given moment...
Dude, he gave more than 100%. Like, he launched himself out of that chair. Like,
it's made... It's made. Moved. It's a movie for Nicolas Cage. It's a shame he's not in it.
It is a shame. Honestly...
Would you rather he be the man or the walrus?
Oh, I thought... I was thinking Nicolas Cage could be Guy Lapointe.
I was figuring that once he gets into the walrus suit, they change actors, and now it's just Nicolas Cage.
No explanation. Like, it's just also, him.
It's part of the surgery.
The woman at the convenience store, the A to Z, the number two Z. I love that a lot. I just like the number two. It makes no sense, and it doesn't need to be there, but it just makes me happy.
This motherfucker watching Sesame Street, they're like, today's number's two. Okay.
No, but he's so focused on it. When we were, like, at Speedway, like, a few seconds ago getting our drinks, like, I mentioned, I'm like, oh my god, like, it would be so funny if, like, we were able to find cups that, like, were able to match it for this. And he's like, you mean, like, the A to Z? And I was like, okay. I was like, wild you know that, by the way.
So the two ladies in the two convenience store clerks are Harley Quinn Smith and Lily Rose Depp, who are Kevin Smith and Johnny Depp's daughters, and they're the stars of Yoga Hosers, the next movie. But again, they got to make a little home movie with their their kids.
Cute. Like, anyway, back to the murderous stuff.
Yeah, fuck kids.
Also, they were best friends from childhood. Like, they were real life friends. It's just, I'm sorry that I get to have real world background information that warms my heart, and y'all are cynical and have sealed.
I'm not cynical. Just thinking about the walrus made of human flesh.
I'm also thinking about the walrus made of human flesh.
No, you're thinking about childhood whimsy.
That is true. You're kind of always thinking about childhood whimsy.
And then he, like, wakes up, and he's, like, in a little wheelchair in, like, the back patio. Oh, my God. And so this dude, Howard Howe, he, like, rolls up in his own little wheelchair, and he's like, oh, you just missed it. That's crazy. You, like, got bit by a spider. He's like, there's a spider? So, like, he's like, he's, like, messed up from sedatives, right? So he's, like, has his little big gulp cup in his lap. He's, like, drooling and stuff. He's like, there's a spider? And he's like, yeah, it's a brown recluse. It's spooky. He's like, it bit you in the leg. Like, you, like, ate shit right in front of me, dude. That's kind of crazy. I had to call the doctor. He's like, the doctor was here? He's like, yeah, but you just missed him. Don't worry.
I don't understand why he's lying at this point.
The doctor, by the way, is Mossier, which is just French. The French speak of Mosier, which is Scott Mosier, his producing partner.
Yeah. he's lying about this whole.
He just fucking.
It's also the name of, like, one of the personas that he took on later on. But we'll.
Buddy, you don't have. He doesn't have a leg no more. You don't have to lie. Like, you're gonna turn him into a walrus pretty soon.
But he doesn't know that. Yeah, he thinks he has a chance.
Also, if you're bit by a brown recluse, you don't pass out. It's more necrotic of the
This
flash.
Motherfucker flew up from America to try and
we have
kid
brown
who,
recluses.
Like, cut his leg off with a katana. We've established he's not the smartest.
That
one.
Is true. I once spent a summer sleeping in a cabin with a brown recluse that was living in there, and we just kind of respected each other.
Oh, did you die?
No.
Oh, okay. So, that's my favorite bit. Don't look at me like that. Anyway.
I could have, Harrison.
Yeah, you could have. Show some respect.
Show some
for
fucking
your
respect.
Friends.
I could have died.
See, I cared enough that I asked him if he died.
Yeah.
This is empathy. You tell me to work on it all the time. Anyway, so he tells me he's bit by the spider. And he's like, yeah, it was crazy. It was like big old spider. Like, he nabbed you. And I like saw it happen. He's like, you saw it happen? He's like, yeah, unfortunately, I was not fast enough to see him beforehand. That's so sad. And so he, like, moves the blanket on his lap. And, like, his whole left leg is just gone. Like, amputated, right? He's like, what the fuck happened to my leg? He's like, oh, doctor had to take it. Like, there's just too much venom. You're going to die, dude. So, like, we saved you.
It was, like, that shot where I started, like, detaching from the movie. So I think it is the stitches, like we were talking about. Okay.
So did you know that this was body horror going in?
I did. I just you know, I thought I was a braver boy. Or rather, I thought it's a movie about a man who gets turned into a walrus. Surely it won't set me off like a more serious body horror film was. It did.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So, right. Okay. Leg gone. Eviscerated, right? We don't know where the leg is. Maybe he ate it. I don't know.
And he is Canadian.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
They probably put it in the freezer for Thanksgiving.
Exactly. See? But leg gone. And so he's like super mad. He's like, I gotta like call somebody. I need to call my family. He's like, well, the doctor stepped on your phone. So it's broken and you can't call anybody. He's like, I need to use the house phone. He's like, doctor took all the house phones. He's like, what? He's like, yeah. He said that he didn't want you bothered at all. So he just like took the phones with him.
He said, I don't get paid enough when he stripped the copper out of the walls.
Yeah, he just ripped it right out of the wall, dude. And he was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why am I not in a hospital? And he's like, because hospitals have diseases. And he was like, no, I need to talk to the doctor. He's like, yeah, Dr. Mosier, right? And he was like, any doctor, like, I just need to talk to him. He's like, okay, I'll like ask him if you can talk to him after supper. And he's like, okay,
I'll blow my doctor horn. It's a big horn he has on the top of the woo, and that's a good thing.
No, he just stands on top of
it. Yeah, that's why they don't need the phones.
So
I like to imagine that most of Canada's run through horn-based communications.
And so supper comes at like what, six? He said it was like 6:30 sharp, something like that. And so they're like sitting across from like this long ass table, by the way. Like, think like where you would like host a feast.
A Citizen Kane reference if I've ever seen one.
And so like they're on either end and they're like eating, and like the sedatives have kicked back in, so he can't like move his arms. And he's like, oh, are you not hungry? He's like, I can't fucking move. And he's like, oh. And then like keeps eating.
He puts down his little silverware and says, it's walrusing time.
Not what he said. And so Wallace is like,
He should have preempted Morbius.
So like these two dudes in their fucking wheelchairs are on either side of the stupid, not wheelchair accessible table, by the way. It's really high up. Like, I don't know where they got wheelchairs that are made like that high up, but like that's just how it is. And so like they're eating dinner and Wallace is like, dude, like I need to call somebody. He's like, the doctor took the phone, guys. And he was like, okay, well, you said you saw the spider, right? And he was like, yeah. He was like, so what did it look like? He was like, oh, you know, had a lot of legs.
Brown. And it was reclusive.
Definitely a spider.
Seemed a bit shy.
Literally, like, that's how he was describing that. And so Wallace is like, there was no spider. You're, like, insane. And he was like, it was really tiny. Like even itsy bitsy, you could say. And he starts, like, singing the itsy bitsy spider in front of this fucking guy who's missing his leg. And so, like, Wallace freaks out because he's realizing this guy is, like, insane. He starts, like, screaming. He's like, somebody help me. Like, I need to get out of here. And so this dude gets up out of his wheelchair and, like, walks all the way around the table and then just, like, bitch slaps him, right? Helps nothing, by the way. He keeps screaming. And so he's
fun
like,
fact,
nobody's
all
coming to help you, bro.
All people in wheelchairs can do that.
Yeah, being crippled is a choice.
Yeah, they can just decide to walk.
But, yeah, no, he, like, slaps him. And helps nothing. They're both screaming now.
That's how it goes.
And so, like, this guy realized, he's like, this guy's a whack job. This is not good, right? And so it does, like, a little teeny tiny time skip, right? And so he's, like, in
5 seconds in the future.
It's, like, 10 minutes.
God, I want to make a movie where there's, like, a time skip and, like, it goes to, like, the black text that says later that day and it's, like, 20 seconds later.
I want to do a movie like someone's all of the like important stuff happens like in a time skip, right? And so like it goes like them like making a plan and then a time skips to afterwards and they're like, whoa guys, we sure defeated that villain with the power of friendship.
This is a real thing I want to do. I want to make a historically accurate World War One movie where everyone calls it World War One.
It's not the war to end all wars.
No.
It is World War I.
No, everyone in the movie.
It needs to be historically accurate.
By historically accurate, do you mean like it's like an hour 40 of people just sitting in a trench where nothing happens and they're like, can't wait for World War One to be
no,
over.
No, not yeah, a little bit. That'll be part of it. Not like real time, but like yes, it's a lot. Like it's. Like all of the technology is historically accurate. All of the like the rest of the language.
I can see the trailer.
I need this whole movie whole time, everybody's calling World War One historically accurate. At like the very last like few seconds of the movie, somebody would be like, man, I wonder how World War II is going to go. And they're like, there's a second one, and that's it.
I have a trailer in my head. It's a Wes Anderson following shot of a rat in the trenches. It's like, doon, doon, doon. And then it bites the guy, and he goes, ah, God, I fucking hate World War One. And that's like in comes like the music starts playing like bam 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 bam, and then it's the titles.
I saw like this skit on TikTok of like a guy where he's like, it's like the year's 2065, and he's like talking to his son who's playing Call of Duty, right? And he's like, oh, which one are you doing? He's like, oh, World War III. He's like, that's a good war. What map are you on? He's like, Gaza. Then Gangnam Style starts playing from the TV for some reason, because clearly, whatever war our generation has to fight is going to be the worst fucking war that ever existed. Not that there's going to be like carnage or anything, but like we're going to be dropping like femboy hooter memes like to the other side. We're going to be like airdropping.
That's the thing I see where it's like me turning to my buddy after like killing a village defenseless people and saying, "Wow, bot lobby."
See you in the lobby, scrub.
This idea like helicopters coming in like it's apocalypse now, but it's like oop Gangnam Style playing.
Have we gotten to the first flashback yet?
No,
we're talking about World War III.
No, I know
it's happening, baby.
This right here is when the first flashback happens, when he's like in the chair.
Okay,
and then it's the first flashback. It's like them before, like he's like obviously like getting dirty with his girlfriend, right?
Fucking.
She's like, I don't want you.
Kind of more getting blown, but yes.
That's fucking.
Sure.
He is trying to fuck her. She does not want it.
Yes, it's under the okay. Sorry, Mom.
It's very straightforward. If you ever watch the movie, he's literally like, we should fuck. And she's like, no. Like, it's very, very straightforward. Like, I don't know why you're apologizing.
Anyway. Yeah.
Like, blowjobs are only not sex if you're Catholic.
This is, like, when the first
flashback... You are Catholic, so why...
Unfortunately, it's an American audience, which means that most of them are probably Protestants. I have to shape my cultural norms to fit theirs. This is called gentrification and colonization.
I don't think you know what gentrification is.
Probably not.
Anyway, so we get to the first flashback, and his girlfriend's like, I don't want you to go to Canada. And they had this argument where she's like, you've changed a lot due to the podcast.
It does that to people.
I don't like how you've changed. I don't think you should go to Canada. This is kind of fucked up that you're going to like interview this kid who cut his leg off. Just stay home, find something else. And he's like, no, I think I like being a douchebag, right? He's like, no.
How popular is this podcast?
Well, it's 2014, so if it's a popular podcast. It's a crazy popular podcast because there were only like six popular podcasts.
Yeah. And so he was like, no,
hope he interviews that boy.
This is like huge for the podcast. It's really not. But this is like huge for the podcast, right? And so they come to the understanding where... She keeps referring to, like, pre-podcast being famous as, like, old Wallace. And they keep, like, talking about him in, like, the third person, which is weird, but okay.
You don't do that?
No. I went to therapy.
I also go to therapy. I still refer to past Harrison, sober Harrison, drunk Harrison. Like, they're all...
I think that's for your therapist.
They're all different entities.
No!
No, they inhabit the same body. They're the same person, but they're different entities.
Like Doctor Who.
Honestly, not dissimilar.
You are not Doctor Who.
I never...
It's called the Doctor, idiot. Doctor Who is not his name. Don't call
her an idiot.
It took everything I had not to like unleash the Call of Duty lobby on you.
I would have simply slinked away.
Like I had like the moment of like
don't.
My therapist would be very proud right now.
He would. We have the same therapist. That's totally healthy.
That poor man.
Please don't call her an idiot. Thank you for not going ballistic. I love you both. Back to the show.
The podcast.
I'm sorry that I derailed us this time.
So they come to like that conclusion, and it flashes back to like this him in his chair, and he like hears his phone in the other room going off, which is the most god-awful ringtone in the entire world, right? It's the margaritas. It's so bad. It's
come ugly. On, it's more margaritas.
Yeah, more margaritas. And so, like, he, like, wheels desperately, right? Like, he's doing, like, the little thing of, like, people have never been in a wheelchair before, but they think they know how to use a wheelchair, and they're like, whoa, right? They're, like, trying. He, like, goes over there, and he misses the call, right? So he's, like, trying to pick it up, and he's like, why aren't you answering? Ah! And so he, like, dials, and, like, literally she just called him. Like, he picks up the phone while it's ringing, it stops ringing. And in the time that he tries to, like, call her back, she puts down her phone and, like, fucks off, right? So she doesn't pick up the return call. So he's, like, leaving this voicemail.
Well, she doesn't fuck off. She fucks Teddy.
I'm getting there!
If you want to get that Teddy action, you got to be quick, baby. You can't be waiting to call back your man if Teddy's waiting. You got to hop on, Teddy. He sees dead people, boy. He's famous. He's in secondhand lines. You got to go. You don't got time. You don't got time to call your cucked boyfriend. You gotta fuck.
I'm so sorry. I didn't. I'm so sorry.
You caused this.
Anything will set me off. I don't even.
But anyway.
So I'm going to therapy now.
He like leaves the voicemail. He's like, dude, like this isn't a joke. I'm being held hostage. This guy, he's gonna fucking kill me. He's crazy. Call the cops. I don't know where I'm at. Somewhere 2 hours north of Manitoba. I know that much. That's all I got. And then he like hangs up, right?
But he also knows this, like in the movie, like, two or three times he mentions that it's in Bifrost.
Yeah. Crazy. So nobody, even like,
from Thor?
But they all go to Manitoba.
Yes, but yes. But he doesn't say in either of voicemails that I'm in Bifrost. Yeah. Even, and I understand that it's a heightened thing and he probably forgot in that exact second. But 2 hours north of Manitoba and I'm in Bifrost, like, that centralizes your location pretty significantly.
Correct, yeah.
Also, like, all there's I'm not much. Is
he could have been saved.
That's facts. If he would have just said Bifrost and like
had he out. Calmed the fuck down for half a goddamn second.
Especially since like Canada, like, yeah, the country's big, but where people live isn't.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that like having your leg chopped off is like pretty traumatic. But like I've bumped my toe a few times. Like, it's not that bad.
Funny joke, I love it. When you said it's big, but where the people live isn't. I wanted to be like, oh, like Montana, but
no one lives in Montana.
Speaking of Montana, did you know that there's this thing called the nuclear sponge strategy that we use in the United States?
No.
So during the Cold War, fun little history lesson for you. That like area where like Montana, Colorado, like. North, like South Dakota, stuff like that, right? In that area, because it's mostly plainslands, not a lot of people there. And the federal government had made this decision that they were going to move all of the nuclear warheads over there and what they call the nuclear sponge. Because the idea behind it is those areas aren't super populated and they're mostly like dry desert. And so if they move the nuclear warheads out there, they are more likely to be attacked than the densely populated areas like the capital. At the time, Youngstown, Ohio, because we were, like, the steel operations back then.
I think Finley was high on the list, too.
Stuff like that. So the idea is that because of the sheer amount of space in those states and, like, the low population, is that we could bait the Russians into using all of their nuclear warheads in that area and therefore spare the rest of the country.
Because no one lives... It's part of my, like, three-state solutions. We just put Israel in Montana.
Yeah. So if you just live in Montana, like, you're fodder. I'm sorry. I'm like, I didn't make that decision.
No
like,
one lives there.
Nobody lives there anyway. Like, what?
I'm pretty sure, was it, like, it's not Montana. Maybe it's Nebraska.
As somebody who came from Youngstown, Ohio, like, I am glad
you used to be important.
The federal government agrees with me that I'm more important than Montana.
Like, Nebraska's, like, capital. I'm pretty sure it's Nebraska, but, like, their capital is, like, smaller than Kent.
Yeah.
Population-wise.
Like, bad.
They have, like, one... tall building.
They're gonna get glassed. That's why all the warheads are out there. Like, I'm serious. Look it up. It's crazy.
So if Justin Long had calmed down, it just taken a fucking second.
This man hates history. Hates history. Hates Halloween.
I don't hate history. I love
the number two, but I hate the letter H.
Anyway, so if he would have calmed down for just a second and said he was in Bifrost, we've lost him.
I'm back.
So just a second, if he would have just mentioned he was in Bifrost, like that whole thing could just been avoided.
Yeah, had he not whisper yelled and like just like taking a breath.
I love when he was whisper yelling because he was like, I'm like being held by the cats and like stuff like that. I love that at the tone that he was, he could have just been talking normally.
Couldn't he also just call emergency services?
He's in Canada. Yes, he doesn't know what's 99.
He was calling his girlfriend first.
I know, but like if you like. It's revealed that like they kind of have a notion there's a guy out there doing stuff like this. If you call emergency services and you're like,
my favorite
I'm
part,
kidnapped by a man who took my leg, they're like, oh,
my
that
favorite
fits
part
the MO.
Is he like hangs up the phone, right, and then opens the app to dial and then calls his best friend instead of calling services. And so it's ringing, and that's where the second flashback comes in, because it's like a little tiny montage of flashbacks, right? Is it's like his girlfriend like crying on the bed, and she's like, oh my god, I hate that motherfucker so much, he cheats on me all the time, and like they feel bad, but then I remember he cheats on me, so now I don't feel bad. And she's like talking to somebody like off screen, she's like, I don't know what I would do without you. And so when he calls, the like second phone in the bathroom from when she like tried to call him before lights up. And then, like, Teddy, his best friend who hosts this podcast with him, like, comes around the corner from the bedroom where his girlfriend is sitting and crying, comes in and starts brushing his teeth. And this is the most savage, cold moment of the whole fucking movie. So he's brushing his teeth and he looks and he sees that Wallace is calling him and he just ignores it. Like, he just fucking leaves it and then goes into the bedroom.
He really should have called the Mounties. Like, I'm sorry, if I'm kidnapped by a man who keeps a walrus penis bone on his fireplace, I'm not calling any of y'all first. I'm gonna call the Mounties.
I'm gonna be honest. If I get kidnapped by a man with a walrus penis bone on his mantle, like I'm going on the offense. Like I am beating him with the walrus penis. Like
you're becoming the walrus.
I will go full walrus, bro.
How are you gonna reach the mantle?
That is a very valid
point. Also, like, especially in a wheelchair,
you would be, what do you mean?
You would be half, first off,
even standing is a 50-50 chance.
You would need so much time to balance to be able to hop to grab it to land correctly and not topple over.
Harrison, I'm short. I consistently hop on one leg to reach things. Like I have the advantage here. I'm already
we have a step stool. Why do you hop on one leg?
Because I forget there's a step stool.
It demeans her.
It's yours.
It taunts her.
I try not to think about it. It was a Christmas gift.
Okay. That's a good. She got any moon boots?
They should have.
I'll kill you if you get me moon boots.
Half of the time,
this
tall.
You can use this as evidence when I inevitably murder Matthew.
Please don't.
And now I'm going to do the buckets. The buckets with the rope.
But
because I will propose and get married to her so I don't have to testify in court.
Anyway.
Valid.
So it like goes into the like bathroom scene. He like sees Wallace is calling him and he just like ignores it. Like he looks like directly at it. He goes, huh. And does not answer it. Finish brushing his teeth. Goes back to continue cheating on his... cheating, like, fucking his girlfriend, right?
And he's cleaning that mouth out for some mad pussy.
And
eating,
so
probably.
It, like, flicks back to him in the house. And, like, he's pissed off that he didn't answer the phone. He's like, oh my god! And so around then is, like, when Howard, like, catches him. And he, like, comes out of the corner. He's like, you can't be making phone calls. And he's like, you're fucking wild. So he, like, drugs him again. And this is where, like...
If only he'd called the cops.
This is where, like, the real walrus starts. Because up until this point in the movie, like, they haven't really mentioned, like... they didn't really mention, like, what his intent with the walrus stuff was. And so, like, pans out, he's, like, sitting, and he has, like, these anatomy drawings that really aren't that good. Like, they're really not that correct. Like, it's missing some bones in one of them. Like, they clearly printed it off of, like, some Google source, right? Like, probably Shutterstock. And, like, on his right side, he has, like, the human body, and it's, like, cut in half to, like, show the muscles and stuff. And on his left, he has a walrus that's the same thing.
So, prior to this moment, were we only talking about fake walruses?
What do you mean talking about fake walrus? No, you like said he hadn't
Walrus happens.
Yeah, this is so the real at this walrus. Point,
are we have we only been speaking of fake walruses?
Only fake walrus. I'm not convinced that the like I know like we watched the same movie. I am not convinced that any of that stuff ever happened to that man. I'm pretty sure he's just fucked up.
No.
He has a walrus penis bone.
He has.
I mean, you can buy one of those on eBay.
not back then.
Not yeah, one good. That you ate.
Yeah, that's true.
There were no bite. Show me the teeth marks.
No, he didn't.
I need to see this. He didn't eat walrus cock.
He did not eat walrus cock. He ate walrus side and stomach, and then as he was being saved, ripped off the walrus cock.
Just the bone.
Just, well, he ripped off the whole cock and then deboned it, like
right obviously. In front of his rescuers. Like,
I need something to remember, Mr. Tusk.
Not the tusk.
No, I need something.
That is fair because as long as I do in my will, it is as long as this podcast is running. If I die, you do get like my cock. They're gonna Rasputin it. They're gonna Rasputin it for you.
So no, I'm fairly certain. The walrus.
I would have taken the tusk.
Because at this point of the movie, they haven't really like revealed that they're trying to turn him into a walrus. Like they just mentioned that like this guy really liked that walrus.
Yeah, he took his penis bone.
Not convinced
bone.
He didn't fuck the walrus, by the way.
Why do you take Why do you take the tusk?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
You look at the tusk. You're like, that's my walrus, buddy. That could be anyone's penis bone.
That's why I'm not convinced he didn't try to sleep with the walrus. Mm. Like, that's such a wild... Like, that's not an insane jump for me to take. Be so for real right now. Don't look at me like that.
I mean, dolphins fuck humans all the time.
Exactly. See?
Okay.
There's that woman that, like, ended up, like, getting into a consensual sexual relationship with a dolphin.
Well, it wasn't that. Basically, what it was is, like, they had, like, this thing where they were trying to, like, teach dolphins human speech. Obviously, we know now that's impossible, right? But at the time, they didn't know. And so, like, what they did is they literally got, like, this house and just, like, put, like, 4 feet of water in it and just let the dolphin swim around, right? Like, they were just supposed to live their lives. But there's a dolphin there, right? And so, like, they have dinner. They're only supposed to reward it if, like, it tries to say words and stuff. And she realized, like, one day when it was older that it was just, like, trying to jack off, right? And so she's like, well, he's not paying attention. So obviously if I jack this dolphin off, he'll start paying attention. Clearly that's not what happened. But, like, that's how it started.
Man, I support it.
Anyways, so that has happened twice during that study, which is crazy that it happened twice.
We need to do a political marriage between dolphins and man for when the sea war happens.
Can we finish World War III before we start?
I think World War III is going to be stopped by the octopuses crawling out of the ocean.
I do not think that's going to happen.
I think we're that's going to stop World War III.
I do think we should weaponize octopus, though.
I think we should turn them to smithereens. They're evil. We're already throwing dropping our rocket technology into the ocean. Like, free grabbings for the octopus.
Put like a GoPro on it, drop it in an event. Like, we get a full map of their base. The
only good octopus is a dead octopus. Evil creatures of the sea.
I, for one, support octopi. Octopus life matters.
I'm fucking sorry. Race traitor. I hate an octopus. I'm convinced that they're trying to kill us all.
What about starfish?
Starfish, I'm indifferent.
So octopus are the lot. Like, wait, hold on. No, I wouldn't trust starfish.
That has been driving me crazy for the last, like, 90 seconds. I've been trying to tell you
a sea creature thing.
Damn, Mike, so subtly.
I truly believe that there's no creature more cruel and more black of heart on this planet than an octopus.
I've met a Republican.
You would think I've met the evil, but I think that an octopus would go even farther. I think that if you elect an octopus to state governance, we'd see horrors against women you'd never see.
I wouldn't vote before. For a starfish, though.
I think they would just be like, we're changing women to breeding cattle. That's now their name on their driver's certificate. Into the barns you go, women.
Did you see that? I forget what state it was, but they wanted to make it a compliance issue when going to the doctor that women have to have like a card that tracks their like period and stuff.
Yeah, that's smart.
So Tusk, please, movie. We're bringing her back.
So
don't hit him.
Right, so we see him, like, watch his phone call go away, and it goes back, and he gets caught by the dude who, like, kidnapped him, right? And he's like, you can't do that. That's very naughty of you, Mr. Tusk. And he's like, who the fuck's Mr. Tusk? gets
clearly didn't
out
listen to the stories.
And so this is where like the real walrus shit starts happening, because it like zooms out and he's got like the anatomy posters, and like Wallace is like on the table, and he has like the skin of like his pectoral area is like sewn to like his upper arm, so now he has like weird little like flaps, like if you like pin your elbows to like your rib cage and like flap around, that's all he's got now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the beginning stage of the walrus,
and this is when I was like,
this is where Matthew stopped watching the movie.
Not necessarily because this was too much for me, but if I knew, I'm like, this is the beginning.
Which is wild that that's the walrus scene that you're talking about. Yeah. Is that really where you
Wait, you didn't see
you
the suit?
Get to the actual walrus?
Is that, yeah.
You didn't see the suit?
I Googled the suit. I Googled the suit. I've seen the suit before.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Okay. I didn't say you had to like it.
I didn't even say you have to watch it. I'm just shocked that like you didn't even make it to the suit.
I'm just really against surgery as a concept, I guess. I don't think we're supposed to go inside there. That's God's machinations, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, so
I'm
about
one of the people
time.
Who's like stopping up corpses. You can't dissect human bodies. It's sacrilegious.
So about this time, it goes back to America. And it's like the morning after. And it's like the best friend and his girlfriend, and like they clearly had just fucked, right? And so she wakes up, and she like goes to do what every girl in the morning does, is you brush your teeth, and then you piss while scrolling through your phone. And so she's brushing her teeth.
Piss seconds, interesting.
So she's brushing her teeth.
I thought you were about to explain for a second. No. And I'm like, don't reward that. Okay, good on you. Good for you.
I'm just saying I always piss, then brush my teeth.
And so she like has her like toothbrush and she's brushing her teeth, taking a piss. She's like scrolling through her phone. She realizes that Wallace had called her. So she like opens the voicemail. She's like listening to it. And like, you know, it does like the movie thing where she like stops brushing her teeth to show that she's like really super interested. And she's like, Teddy, get the fuck up, bro. Like, what the fuck? And so this is one of my favorite moments in the movie. because. Why are you hitting me?
You said move me. So I
it's really funny.
I pressed my leg. I can't.
It's right. Really funny.
So
to move
the toothbrush
stops
moving.
You better appreciate your man. This
of
is so fucking
him.
Funny.
He gives me McDonald's. So toothbrush stops moving. She like gets up and realizes that she had called him. So she checks Teddy's phone as well, and she realizes that he called Teddy as well. So she's like, "Oh my god, Teddy, get up!" And she like runs in there and she's like shaking him awake. And he's like, "What the fuck's going on?" Right? Because he's like out cold. She's like, Wallace called and he's in trouble. Look, he called you too. And he's like, what? He called me? Like, it is Teddy's fault that this happened. I would like, all could have been avoided if Teddy would have answered his phone. And so they're like, oh my God, we have to go to Canada. Because clearly there's no other option. Like, they have to go to Canada, right? And so the movie is now mostly following them when they go up to Canada. And they're like, first, they're like in the rental car and they're like talking with like the police and they're like, oh my God, we can't like find our friend. He came up here for a podcast and we haven't been able to see him. We think he might have been kidnapped. It's like really bad, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, okay, let's get some information on him. She's like telling them the description. And at one point in time, they're like,
that just happens.
Well, what was he up here? And she's like, oh, they're up here for a podcast for the Nazi party. And then they hang up on him, obviously.
Yeah, Ted's just like, spell it.
Yeah, Ted's like, you need to spell it, and they hang up on her. She's like, they hung up on me, and he's like, are you really that surprised?
Yeah, that's. I understand searchability, and it's the joke and everything. That has to happen almost all the time, to the point where Teddy probably spells it. Like, Teddy.
N-O-T-S-E-E's party, yeah.
Yes.
It's like me with my last name, where someone's like, last name, I start spelling it, and they look at me, because I'll give, like, the first three letters, and they look at me weird. I'm like, I'm going to spell it. Yeah. I'm not going to even attempt to have you spell it. It's not going to happen.
I'm
going to
be honest. I'd say it every time and just see the fear in their eyes, and I would not elaborate. I'd be like, you know, how it's usually spelled.
I just wanted stated that I spelled Matthew's last name in my phone correctly first time. So,
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
My biggest pet peeve is when people don't capitalize the middle letter of my last name.
Sure.
Like, people just assume. That's a whole different family. Like, I'm not part of that family. And so my biggest pet peeve is when people don't do that. And then they get really upset at me when I correct them. Right. So they hang up on her. And so they go, like, into the police station because they're like, clearly they can't ignore us if we're in there. And they're like trying to explain to them what happened. And they're like,
also, like, no. I know it's Teddy's fault. This all could have been avoided.
Correct.
If he had just called them, because then they wouldn't have hung up, because he would have been like, oh, I'm here on the Nazi party business. He would have been like, I'm trapped, and the guy cut off my leg. And they'd be like, oh, we're on our way. But and they get on their moose.
Teddy was driving. How could he be the one calling?
No. He was practicing
safe Wallace?
Wallace. Instead of calling his girlfriend.
Instead of calling the yes. Instead of calling
his girlfriend, though. Because sure, he didn't dial. He immediately just hit back. The yes. Button.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Like, I understand that one. I don't understand hanging up and then calling Teddy.
I a little bit. I don't know. I get it. It's the immediate next person you think of, where it's like, who's next, like, who's most likely to pick up?
Oh, the cops.
Sure.
They have to.
But in a panic situation, you're going to go with the person you know. And so that's what he did. Like, I understand it. He's stupid and wrong. But
in Canada, is it still 911 or is it 999? Because technically they were, like, really close to Britain.
I don't know. I was about to ask that like 45 minutes ago, but I didn't
think it's 999. I'm pretty sure we're the only ones that are 911.
Because we're the best.
Why isn't it?
Okay.
000.
Not even going to acknowledge the fact that we're the best. I get it. You don't want to be too prideful.
Name one thing that we're leaders of in the United States, like globally.
Super Bowls.
It is. It is.
I fully expected you to say school shootings. I'm not gonna lie. I fully was waiting for that to be the next.
Fun fact: 911 is the emergency number for Argentina, Canada, the Dominican Republic, Fiji, Jordan, Iraq in 2024, Mexico, Pakistan, Palau, Panama, the Philippines, Sint Maarten, the United States, and Uruguay.
Uruguay.
No, you're a guy.
Anyway, so didn't know all those, because I know, like, it's either 911 or it's 999, right? So was Canada on that list? I'm
yes,
I tuned
yes,
out.
It
okay,
was like
so
the
it's 911 in Canada.
It was like
so,
the
like,
second country.
He did not have any excuse not to call 911 at that point.
Well, he panicked and called his friend Teddy because who?
I'm not calling a motherfucker named Teddy. What is he going to do?
Yeah, there's, you can't, it's not like...
His name is Teddy. I think we have established where he is in the male hierarchy.
Also, in every other horror movie, when someone's panicking, they manage to call the cops and not their best friend. So...
He wanted his best friend to call the cops for him.
Why?
Because he's the podcast co-host and he's the head. He's the head honcho of the podcast. And Teddy does the dirty work. Teddy does all of the post-production.
He's really projecting right now.
He really is. Yeah. You know what? No, I now understand the logic because I could definitely see you calling Harrison being like, I need you to call 911.
No, I have my Samsung watch. I'd press a little button and it would call both 911 and Cameron and send them my location.
You're insane for that.
I saw him lift a car once, so I think between the cop's bullets and Cameron's hams, that's what I call his guns, his hams. I think I'd be quite safe.
That's so funny.
We call it our Superman watch.
Right. Where were we? Right. So we've officially gone full walrus.
Real walrus.
And so it's like following them on like their search. And it's like the most piss poor shit that's not going to find him ever. Like at one point in time, they're like driving down like a like random country street. And they're like with flashlights out the window. And they're like, Wallace. Like he's going to answer.
The Mountie police officer in the station is Ralph Garman, who is the co-host of Hollywood Babylon. Also plays in Yoga Hosers. He plays a Nazi.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that for them.
He's a professional impressionist.
But, and so eventually they end up in the police station. They're like trying to explain what happened. And they're like, yeah, that's crazy.
What? Like, you don't like the face I make because I try to figure out if that's a viable profession?
They're like, oh my God, that's crazy. We've had like reports of something like that happening before. And they're like, so you're going to do something? And they're like, we'll put out a missing persons report.
Look, do be fair. I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts and Canada police are like bad.
I don't think it's they're bad. It's just well, that there's no, such large expanse of like forest between cities. Well, like, that if you're anywhere in there, you're done.
American police do their best to catch serial killers and serial issues. They're just truly bad at their jobs. Canadian police really just kind of wait till the last second.
No. You're
because it makes them
way.
Sad, and it's illegal, yeah, it's illegal to be sad.
I think it is, because like there's so many times the police are like a Canada true crime story, and they're like, the police put this on the back burner for several months. Like, the Canadian police just do not, and I think it is because they're just not used to it as much. They don't have this happen as much, where America is uniquely the serial killer capital of the world.
So there's three conspiracy theories that I believe in my lifetime, okay? And one of them is actually about the Canadian police, where like they have this like famous line where there's not really serial killers in Canada. And I don't think, genuinely, I do not think that it's they just have less serial killers than America. I think that they just don't go catch them, so they don't have to add them to the roster.
This is a wild conspiracy theory, not for its content.
I mean, it's the same
thing. You believe in three conspiracy theories, and one of them involves the police force of Canada.
Correct. They're like in the police station. They're like, oh my God, that's so crazy. We also have gotten reports of people going missing and losing their legs. What? And they're like, oh my God, so you're going to do something? And they're like, not really. And so this is where like a private investigator who used to work in Quebec comes in. And they're like, this guy's been like,
unfortunate that he's from there.
This guy's like been babbling about it. He's kind of crazy. You might want to get a hold of him. He might know more than us.
He's from Quebec.
The police do. Because clearly they just give out information like that. And so they like give him a call and they're like, we need to meet at this diner like ASAP to discuss this, right? And so they meet up at the diner and they're like talking and the guy's like, yeah, no, like he's fucking crazy. I've been tracking him for like a decade at this point. And I think I met him like 2 years ago. They're like, whoa, you met him like 2 years ago? And he's like, yeah. So it goes into like a flashback. That is my least favorite scene in the entire movie because he's playing, in his words, a simpleton. Who his life's work is that on Mondays he goes to like the Little Mites hockey team and like picks up the sticks after practice and brings them water. And like he like talks about, oh, when he like goes up to investigate, he's like, hey, I'm here to like investigate these reports of like some very famous hockey players going missing and like we think they might be in this area. And he's like, no, they wouldn't be in this area. You're here to like kill the spider, right? And he's like, the spider? And he's like, yeah, like in the potty, in the shitter. And he's like, what? And he's like, there's a brown recluse in there. And he's like, oh, there's a spider in your outhouse. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, no, I'm not here for that. He's like, oh, well, I called the cops and they said they were gonna send somebody a few days ago. And he's like, no, I don't kill spiders. I'm only a lowly like homicide detective, right? And so they're having this whole like conversation. He's getting like information out of him. And at one point in time, he's like, what's your name? He's like, oh, Bartholomew Mosier.
I don't know how I'm going to make that seamless. My guess is it's just going to be a hard cut. By the way, you don't listen to review the podcast. I often make hard cuts when we comment about, that's just going to have to be a hard cut. This is just going to have to be a hard cut.
So he's like talking about the brown recluse. Very similar to like earlier when he was talking to Wallace. And at one point in time, he's like, oh, what's your name? And he's like, oh, my name's Bartholomew Mosier. Like, the doctor that he calls him, like, Wallace. And at that point, you're like, oh, my God. Storytelling, right? And so, like, he's, like, leaving. And he's like, all right, well, you have a good day. And he's like, thank you. And he thanks him, like, six or seven times on his way out. And so then it flashes back to the diner. He's like, yeah, so that's when I met him. They were like, what the fuck?
But he also had this weird moment where they're talking about something about he's looking for the monster. And then he goes dark. He's like, I think the real monster is the human being.
Yeah, like the whole time he's like talking like he is emotionally stunted at like eight, like 6 or 7 years old. And all of a sudden he like gets like this moment of clarity. Like he loses like the weird accent that he was doing and everything. And he was just like, I think the real monsters are the human beings. And it's just uncomfy.
They're meeting at the diner. Oh my God, I forget what it's called.
Tim Hortons.
It's not Tim Hortons. But it's the diner where they have the slider and
White Castle.
No, it's a Canadian slider.
Black Castle.
That's getting cut.
Maybe not. That's not too bad. That's not too bad. This is a safe space. Johnny Depp orders like $40 worth of just like just like three meals for himself while, oh my God, what's the girlfriend's name? Allie. Allie and Teddy are just drinking like waters, and he's having like a four-course meal by himself.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, do you want any? And he just goes, no.
He has priorities. I respect that.
And he had to have the second slider.
And he offered them the food. So, you know, he's not being greedy. He's not a slovenly slob. He's offering them some of his food. That's a good man.
So at this point, they're like, we have to like determine where he is. Oh my God. Right. And so it flashes back to the house. And this is the first time we see the walrus. Right. This is the first time we see Mr. Tusk in all of his glory. Because it turns out this fucking psychopath has like a whole walrus enclosure just in his house.
You don't?
Unfortunately, no.
Does it ever say what he
does? Wait, we have the same house. I actually knew the answer to that question.
Does it ever say what he does for a living? Did I miss that?
He's an explorer.
Wait, what Howard Howe did for a living?
Or, like, yeah.
He, army benefits.
Yeah. Army benefits, right.
Because he was
on the beaches of Normandy. Sorry, it's Canada, so like in America, army benefits couldn't give you a walrus enclosure. But
right.
Maybe they're nicer. No, he has like a walrus enclosure.
Maybe they're nicer to their troops up there.
And I mean, he was a chef in the Navy, so maybe he was a high-end chef for a little while.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what got him on the Anastasia to get him stranded with his walrus.
We knew a chef in the Navy had no teeth.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Saw him bite an apple once. Terrifying.
So there's this walrus enclosure, right? And it's like a pillar in the middle of like a water pit, and like it's just like this grotesque walrus that's like stitched together body parts, right? Like if you look at it from the right angle, you can see like somebody's whole face, and I think it was like the left shoulder or something like that. And like he's like chained in there, and like this is Wallace, which is hilarious that they named him Wallace the Walrus, but it's okay.
I'm a strong believer in name determinism, so it makes sense.
It's Wallace the Walrus, and it's based off, I mean, we'll get later, but it's based off the Irish O'Wally Wally.
Yeah.
Like the Irish folk tune.
And so Howard Howe is just like standing, he's like on his little thing, he like pulls back the like little bridge that he used to get him over there, and he's like, we have succeeded in walrus. And so like he just starts screaming, obviously, as one should when you're turned into a walrus. You just start screaming.
His tongue has been cut out.
Yeah.
So he can't form words. And like his is it the tibia or like basically it's essentially femur bone from his legs have been shoved into his face as tusk. It's his own femurs or tibias.
Yeah, I know. It's deeply unsettling.
Yeah, like it's fucked up.
My taint's a tingling even dark. As we talk.
I'm sorry.
And so like he throws him a fish and he's like, eat Mr. Tuskegee, right? Because clearly you have to prepare for battle. And so we get like a little glimpse of him like learning to be a walrus, right?
Can you eat without a tongue?
I would assume so.
You still have teeth.
Yeah, I assume the tongue has some important part though.
Taste and guidance. Walrus,
yeah,
and
guidance.
Yeah, I mean, like if you just like aggressively throw your head back, I'm sure you could probably get like one or two things down your throat.
So I ate a donut once. My hands were covered in ink. Try to seagull it.
Speaking of seagulls. There's like a clip of like the ocean that has like seagulls and stuff in it that he's using like brainwashing because it's like playing 24/7 like how they used to think brainwashing goes.
like a white noise machine,
like a Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, like Clockwork Orange. And so then it flashes back.
Is he being forced to like watch it or just everywhere?
Like it's constantly playing all around the enclosure.
Oh but yeah, but still lots more like just like nice background noise.
Well, it's as if to simulate that you are
there.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it's to help with the immersion, right? Because clearly becoming a walrus wasn't enough. And so it flashes back to Teddy and his girlfriend and like the detective, and they're like, oh my God, I think we might know. Because they get, like, a lead. They're like, oh, my God, I think we might know where he is. Right? They're like, oh, my God.
We just found a receipt for a walrus enclosure.
I just found a receipt
for some dude in the woods just bought a walrus enclosure.
Yo, that's crazy, guys. And so they get, like, the lead on where they are. And so they start making their way up. And so it flashes back to what's going on in the house as they're, like, closing in on the house. And so he's like, man, so you're eating fish and like you're screaming, but walruses do more.
They whistle.
They swim. So he like flicks like this switch to like pull the chain on his tail to like drag him underwater. And when he's underwater, he can see like the bodies of like previous people who were failed walruses because they clearly were not walrus enough, right? And so like against all odds, he does it. He swims. He is Mr. Tusk, right? So he manages to get back up onto the enclosure and he's like yelling, right? He's like, ah! And he's like, yes, Mr. Tuskegee! Go full walrus! Like, it is the best moment of the movie. Right after him bouncing off the floor. And so it flashes back to the couple. They've pulled up to the house. And they're like, we gotta go in there. And like, the French detective's like,
Quebec. You don't want to call them French. They get very upset.
I don't think anybody from Quebec is going to come at me.
We actually have 5 listeners. We only have 6 listeners total. One of them is from Quebec.
I would love to see them fight me. I've seen the entirety of this movie. I feel like I could take some.
They're going
to
come in on a moose, dude.
Then we can finally get moose jaws.
Then we can get moose jaws. Oh my god.
The planned third movie.
I know.
And when people ask what's moose jaws, Kevin Smith just goes, it's Jaws with a moose.
I really want moose jaws. You don't understand how bad I want moose jaws. But and so they're like running up like an abnormally long staircase. Like it spirals all the way down. And so, of course, they had to do the shot where they're, like, looking up the staircase and, like, see them looking down. He, like, points the gun down there. And because for some fucking reason, that's, like, what you think will work. And so then it flashes back. And now Howard is in his own walrus suit. And he's like, we must fight to show that you are truly Mr. Tusk.
Well, that, because he, because Howard, I don't know if that's his real name, but we're calling him Howard 8.
It's how he's credited.
Yes.
Yeah.
Howard ate Mr. Tusk mere minutes before he was saved, which he could have just not.
Yeah, he could have just not.
He could have avoided all of his trauma had he just not. Had he just held it in for like 15 minutes, he would have been fine. But he ate Mr. Tusk, and so now he gives each future Mr. Tusk a chance to fight back, which the real Mr. Tusk never got.
Yeah, and so...
Why don't you just eat fish?
Because he's a fucking walrus.
No, when instead of eating Mr. Tusk, why don't you just follow Mr. Tusk and get some fish?
I don't know, man. I wasn't
because
there.
He was food crazy delirious and his best friend is large and...
Follow your large friend to the ocean and get some fish.
Anyway...
You can't eat raw saltwater fish?
Yeah, you can't do that. That's how you die.
I don't think you need. I think eating walrus might kill you. You need raw seagull.
Not if you get saved 15 minutes after.
You can eat raw seagull.
Which.
I don't think that's a
that's
good
true.
Idea.
That's
I don't think that's
true.
A good idea.
It's not great for you, but you can in an emergency situation.
How would you catch the seagull? They're fast. I do not think you're yanking it out of the air, bro. I don't think for a second.
Oh, I could grab a seagull in flight.
Did we skip the return to the A to Z? Yes, we did.
It wasn't that good of a bit.
But important
he loves it.
Important information was that's where they get the address. That's because they have the flashback of him at the phone, like on the phone with Howard Howe from the beginning, from the girl's perspective. Also, the same scene shot differently, but like it's different takes, I'm pretty sure. But they're acting so similarly to each other. That's just good filmmaking. But also, he gets the, because they have the flashback of him writing down the address, Guy Lapointe fucking does the scrape thing on the pen pad and gets the address, and Teddy's like, it was in the Big Lebowski. And then Guy's like, actually, funny enough, that's exactly where he learned it. That's where they get the address. That's important information. I'm sorry.
I'm a failure.
You're not a failure. Please be nice to my friend. Be nice to her.
Right. Anyway. So they get the freaking address doing the little pencil trick from the little.
Where do they get this?
At the A to Z. Okay, what do you mean?
Good. Just making sure.
And so anyway, big walrus fight is happening, right? And they're coming up the stairs, well, down the stairs, as this big walrus fight is happening. And they, like, kick open the, like, doors right as Wallace wins. Like, he's, like, stabbing the fuck out of this man with, like, his little tusks, right? And he's, like, yelling the whole time because he is Mr. Tuskegee now, right?
His survival instincts kicked in.
He is Mr. Tuskegee now, right? And so, like, Howard is, like, dying. He's, like, wistfully looking up at the ceiling. He has, like, tears in his eyes. He's, like, you truly are a full walrus. Funniest shit ever, by the way. Except for now, they found Wallace. What are you going to do with him, right? Like, he's a whole ass, like, he's a fucking walrus.
He's a whole ass walrus.
He's a whole ass walrus now. Like, you can't, like, reverse that.
He's a real walrus.
I could.
So clearly they did.
I could do the reverse walrus surgery. Easy.
They did what any logical people in that situation would do.
What?
And they put him in a zoo.
It's like separating conjoined twins, realizing you failed in rejoining them together.
You can't just put conjoined twins back together.
Now, I've known about this ending because it's a pretty famous ending in movies. Is it a proper zoo?
Yeah, like it's an actual zoo.
It's yeah.
I think it's illegal for them to accept him.
It's an exotic animal habitat. It's like a
rehabilitation center.
Yeah.
So it's not public. Is the public allowed in?
They don't really expand on that.
I mean, it's yeah.
Is it like a private kind of like?
It says zoo. I'm assuming they probably do private tours for like extra funding.
I think it's.
Nobody. Sounds, that's the illegal part you're worried about in this movie.
Yeah. It's illegal for him to have turned him into a walrus.
What do you mean? I
just don't think you can put you can.
You would be
have
a terrible 911 operator.
You couldn't have a human walrus person at a zoo.
Somebody would like call you and be like, "I think somebody's breaking into my house." You'd be like, "It's illegal. They can't do that."
No. I wouldn't end up like, "Hey," they'd be like, "Hey, can we take our friend who's been turned into a walrus and stick him in a zoo?" And I'd be like, "No, that's illegal."
But it's like, not like a big zoo. It's like
one of the things that the zoo send people to.
Yes.
Okay. Still wild. I would have shot him.
So like he's
Johnny Depp almost did.
Shut up.
And then Ali and Denny fucking stopped him in Cut to Black.
Why were they? Terrible friends.
Because that's their friend.
Harrison, I promise you, if you ever get turned into a walrus and lose your mind and become a walrus man, I'm not going to stop someone from shooting you.
But he didn't lose his mind fully.
He's lived a life.
So we're getting there. So he's in the zoo.
I know,
right?
Walruses don't cry. It's a worse situation.
Walruses never cry.
He does cry.
Yes.
He does at the end because crying is what separates
yeah,
the man from the
animal. Yeah,
because
he has a life of hellish walrus torment ahead of him, which is why I wouldn't stop someone from shooting you.
No, what it is he's in the zoo and they come to visit him and they have like the sweet, they have a fish wrapped up in newspaper. She like, on his best friend's arm, by the way, tosses the fish to him in his little enclosure, and he's like eating it, and he like looks wistfully up at her. She's like, "I'll always love you, Wallace," and he's like, "Ugh!" And like a single tear like comes down his face. Like
they should have shot him.
And then the camera
they left
pans,
him in hell.
The camera pans into the
and
sky.
it's a big rainbow rubber ball floating around the pool as Gerard Way sings "Oh Wally Wally" as the credits roll. And then the moment that version of the song is done, they play audio from the podcast episode.
It's like he's probably gonna die anyways. There's no way that surgery was hygienic.
No, he is fully walrus. He is one with the walrus.
There's definitely infection.
No, he survived.
I've seen that fan. I don't trust him to do surgery and make it clean.
And then there's a in-between credit scene that's Johnny Depp or Guy Lapointe, like, you just had to have the second slider talking to himself and he has bad gas. It's really dumb, but like, it's fine. It's a mid-credit scene. Who cares? It's not really part
of the movie. Should have shot the walrus.
But you really had to bring it up, though.
Yeah, because it's still a part of the movie, even though it's
should've
not really a part of the movie.
The walrus.
Nobody's saying they shouldn't have shot the walrus. We're saying that they didn't. You have to live with that.
Okay.
I want a movie called The Hunt for Wallace, where it's a man attempting to break in.
They let
in.
Him go, and they're like, if you can prove that you can survive among the wild walrus, we'll let you live.
Fun fact. All of the walrus scenes were shot in one big shoot because the costume was so uncomfortable for Justin Long. He's like, I'm not getting in and out of this thing. We're going to shoot I don't care if it's a fucking 18-hour hell day. I'm only doing this once.
No, like, it's... You can even see that that motherfucker is uncomfortable. Like, and it's got to be like lava in there. There's no way there's any sort of ventilation.
It took 4.5 hours to get the suit on, and in between takes, they had to do constant touch up.
Oh yeah.
Yes, that it was so uncomfortable that originally they planned on like spreading it out over a few days. But the moment Justin Long got in the suit, he's like, we're shooting this in one moment. We're shooting this in one fell. I'm not. I refuse. I'm so sorry. I'm not doing this.
I love.
Which good for him.
My favorite thing in the movie is when they're like pulling him into like the water. Right. And you can see the moment where they like pull him into the water for like the original effect. And then, like, the suit does not want to go down. Like, he is actively floating, and it's just, like, skirting on the water. Uh-huh.
I'm not sure this movie should exist, but I don't think that's a bad thing that it does. I think that's my take on it. I think, conceptually, I think that the fact this movie exists means that somewhere along the way we lost the plot. We forsook our gods, but not, like, in a bad way.
I don't think we ever lost the plot. I feel like you're just a coward.
I mean, I am a coward, but it's a ridiculous movie to exist.
I agree.
That's why it should exist.
Okay.
If you don't have ridiculous movies, are you truly like living?
Justin Long.
The only movie I watch is Citizen Kane back to back.
Justin Long in the walrus suit is phenomenal. Like playing actual crates. First off, it was so uncomfortable that it wasn't really acting. He was just literally, was a walrus.
He became a walrus. It's kind of crazy.
I've seen clips. I've seen pictures. And every time I do, I wish I wasn't doing it, which I guess makes it a good body horror movie.
Yeah, no, it's not supposed to be comfy to look at.
Those moments specifically in the movie, like when you're in the walrus suit, you can't half-ass that performance. Have to go full walrus.
I read a review of someone that hated this movie, but the one thing that they consistently said was good was when he was yelling. They're like, when he yells in the walrus suit, haunting, real scary shit.
No, facts, because he was genuinely like, in agony. Like, that thing sucked. And this movie, like Harrison said earlier, it is heavily dependent on everybody is giving it 100% the entire time.
Yes.
This movie is too outrageous and too quite downright fucking stupid to ever, even if you faltered a little bit, like, the whole movie would have came crumbling down.
This is an incredibly dumb movie, an incredibly tight rope to walk that
is why it's so divisive.
It is because the thing is, I truly think it's executed so well.
I want to be honest, I thought this movie was very well received because I hadn't interacted much with critical reception of and just had your take on it. I'm like, oh, everyone loves Tusk. And then after I stopped watching it, I was looking it up. I'm like, oh, Harrison's in the minority, huh?
Yeah. No, I love
I assume this was a beloved movie.
No,
this is a great movie. It used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it still is, but it used to be.
I first heard of this movie right after it had left theaters, and I'm like, I have to see this somewhere. How am I gonna see this? So I watched a bootleg like YouTube video of it with this weird like light in the middle of the screen, but I watched the movie and I'm like, I have seen Tusk. I am a changed person. In like 2014 I am a changed person to this point where the moment that the DVD went on sale, I'm like, I'm going to buy so many copies. So I only bought one, but I wanted to buy all of them. My first
time ever seeing Tusk was, I was at the time, my brother's dad's house, right? And it was me and my brother, Rin. And we were just scrolling through Netflix, and we were like, we want to watch a horror movie. But, like, not, like, a good horror movie. Like, we want something that we haven't heard of before. So we literally, like, held down the button to scroll on, under, like, the horror genre, and it just so happened to land on Tusk. And we were like, and all the only information we had going in was the title card of like him with the like tusks.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? Changed me. I've seen the light of God.
I love this movie so much. I understand why people hate this movie. I'm not going to deny. I think it's a masterpiece.
I'm going to disagree with a lot of the people. Having read a lot of reviews today, I'm going to disagree with them. Because they all say it's like a stupid premise, and it is, but that's the point.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's
because the only axis on which I disagree with this movie is it's yucky and makes me feel bad.
Sure.
And that's just a personal me thing.
Sure.
It's supposed to be outrageous in more ways than one.
There's like movies that like I don't like, and that it's like objective. It's more like an actual take on the movie.
Sure.
Like Don't Think Twice.
No,
this
it's
movie
not. Don't
is
Think
entirely
Twice is pretty, it's pretty good.
This
I like
movie,
that movie
is entirely subjective. I recognize it's entirely my own opinion. It's just I just can't do it.
Every review of a movie, every thought process of a movie is entirely subjective. There is no objectivity in art.
I don't know. I've written a lot of reviews of things, so I think you're wrong.
So you've written your subjective
I've
thoughts.
I've written my objective thoughts.
You're not the harbinger
of
objectivity.
I took a class on film critique.
So did
I.
The thing about Tusk is all of the reasons that people hate this movie are the exact reasons why they should love this movie. Like, hands down, if you say the premise is stupid and outrageous, that's why you should like it.
Now one person said because it's yucky. I'm like, that's probably the only reason I could see you being like, this movie sucks.
Yeah, it's gross. It's body horror.
It's well shot. There are some phenomenal, like, very interesting shots to the point where I think I don't know if I'd seen Clerks at this point. I may have seen Clerks. I can't guarantee that. But when
is this
I saw
a satire of Human Centipede,
I can see
accidentally.
Accidentally, because they didn't really pull like a lot of inspiration from Human Centipede. Literally, the only inspiration they had was so they like get sewn together. That like beyond that, no.
But this is a fascinating turning point in his career. One, because he hadn't made a movie in forever, but also following Red State, where Kevin Smith decided to move the fucking camera for the first time ever. And it was revolutionary. Turns out when you move the camera, you can come up with some pretty great shots. And
I mean, if film school taught me one thing, you should always be moving the camera and you should never have a static shot.
Yes. So this,
judging by the projects I saw in my time.
But this movie looks nothing like anything he had ever, I mean, Red State, but I hadn't seen Red State at this point. But it's so shocking as a Kevin Smith movie. It doesn't make any sense in his filmography, and it's such an interesting turning point, and I love it so much.
It's a great movie. Just because you're a coward doesn't mean
I look. I'm a coward, and I think it's yucky.
It is gross. That's
if you don't get a weird feeling in your taint when you watch Surgery on a Screen, go watch this movie. I trust Harrison's opinion strongly here, and everything I read about the movie, and up until the point when I stopped watching, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not Food Fight. It's not Don't Think Twice.
Don't Think Twice is fine. It's good. I like that movie. I'm sorry that you.
Why are you hung up on Don't Think Twice when he literally mentioned Food Fight?
Because we watched Food Fight and we both hate it. This is just proof that you don't. You don't listen to the podcast.
I told you at the beginning I don't listen to the podcast.
I know.
Don't Think Twice is our most contentious episode. Except for the last one we filmed, because
soon to be Trick or Treat,
and that's only because I kept saying he hates Halloween, which he does.
I don't.
And he gets super upset.
I don't
Tusk
hate Halloween.
Is great because it's body horror, but it doesn't really have the actual body horror in it. You only see the after effects of it. Because in every other movie where there's like body horror, you really see it on screen. So like, I fucking love the Saw movies. Like, it's one of my favorite things ever. Apparently there is a license.
Worrying that you work in escape rooms.
There is actually a licensed Saw escape room that recently opened in Ohio.
I know.
And I'm getting ready to go to it. I went to Nevada to go to like the officially like big licensed ones. And then the one day that I go down there, they're like,
I think you mentioned it
day.
To me
and
once.
I was really upset.
I think you're trying to get us to go once. And I'm like, no.
Correct. We should all go.
No. Okay.
That's a hill I'll die on. So,
I go to an escape room. Not a Saw one.
We gotta go to a good escape room for onto an escape room. But it's great because it gives you the body horror without actual body horror, because a lot of people can't handle like you. Where they can't handle like the like scene of the act, but they can handle the aftermath. And I think that's what makes Tusk so great, is because you still get the full effect, even though we don't like explicitly see him being like, this man's left nipple makes quite a good little left flipper, don't you think? Like That was a great bit. Shut up.
I love you.
Like, I haven't seen The Fly. I've seen a lot of clips of The Fly, and that doesn't gross me out as much as the walrus suit. I think it is just the surgery.
Okay.
I don't like surgery. I never really had to get surgery.
Interesting.
I've had to get my chin sewn up once.
Okay.
I split when I was really young. But other than that, I really haven't had a... I guess I got some teeth taken out, but like a tooth. But I was out for that. So
you would also have been out if they... He was also out when he...
Yeah, but I woke up, there wasn't like stitches. There wasn't like a ton of shit. It was all the way down. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It really is the evidence of surgery that gives my taint a tingle.
Okay. So is that your final thoughts?
Yeah, if if you like that, if you're not a coward like me, doesn't gross you out, go see it. Seems like a fine movie. I disagree with the critics. I disagree with the critics I read explicitly by them being like, it's stupid, and it's like, well, yeah, it's clearly supposed to be stupid. So don't listen to the critics. Judge it whether or not you like yuck. If you like yuck, go see it. If you don't like yuck, there's other movies you could watch. Star Wars.
We're not getting into that. We're not.
Lord of the Rings.
We're not going down that path.
All right. Any final thoughts, Neve?
Go full walrus.
Awesome.
Oppenheimer. That's a movie you can watch.
So this is the last Guesttober episode, and then we do Trick or Treat next week.
Yeah. Spoilers. Harrison hates Halloween. Yeah.
Do you want to do socials? We've been recording for about 2:20.
Yeah, I can do socials. So if you want to email us the picture of you dressed up as a sexy birthday walrus for my dear friend Harrison, twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. I prefer those as PNGs, but if you want to do like a PDF attachment, that's okay. I'll print it out for him. Hang up on his wall. Happy birthday, buddy. If you want to find us on Instagram, we really only have updates at the moment, but if you send a really good walrus picture, I will put it on the main feed. Two Men Movie Podcast on Instagram. You can find me at Midwest_magician. If you want to see me paint small plastic men, I'm going to be going to some plays this month, so I might post some things about that.
Ooh, hell yeah.
We got like a weekend of plays coming up.
Heck yeah, dude.
Because I'm a cultured sort of fellow.
Yeah, man.
Where can they find you, Harrison?
You can find me at harrisonpool.com on TikTok and Instagram. I post so little, but I should absolutely be posting more. But we live in a the algorithm is hell, and we live in a capitalist hellscape. Harrisonpool.com, PooleDotCom. Harrison. Apparently, I've never needed to spell Harrison, but I've had to spell pool, and I've had to spell dot to people when I've been explaining.
Yeah, because no one would assume it's the spell loud dad.
Sure, fair enough.
And your name is literally how anyone would spell pool, but with an extra e on the end.
Okay. harrisonpool.com. Can they find you anywhere, Neve?
No, I just want to go to Waffle House.
Okay, cool. Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you for fucking tolerating our bullshit. I love you very much.
I hope you had a spooky Halloween month called October.
All right, cool.
See you in November.
All right, bye.
The month of Squanto and pumpkin pie.
Stop talking about Squanto.
Kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.